Let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Continue to go through the book of Romans in our series on Romans. And we're at the last section, the glorious section in Romans 8, speaking of the eternal security of the people of God. And I propose that in this sermon and also the two sermons next Sunday, before we go on vacation, that we shall finish up the book of Romans at chapter 8 for a while, and then for a while take a break. But here we are at Romans 8 and 29 and 30. We're going to be reading the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 28 through the end 39. So hear now the glorious conclusion that Paul is drawing for us. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far we read this glorious section of the Word of God at Romans 8, the last section. And I want for us to concentrate this evening on verses 29 and 30, but I want to do that in light of verse 28, which we considered last time, and so I'm going to read them all at this time, but we're going to be preaching especially to and on Romans 8, 29 and 30. And verse 28 reads, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Thus far we read from the sacred scripture and hear now what God would tell us. And the Good Shepherd would speak to us in the preaching of the gospel. And our text, which especially is focusing on glorious reasons why we are knowledgeable that all things work together for our good. And that's the basic idea of our text and the perspective of which I would speak to you on verses 29 and 30. Which has been called the golden chain of salvation. And I see them as glorious reasons why we know that all things are working together for our good. And we saw last time that indeed it's true. God says we know that all things work together for our good. And that's because all things are working together for our good. And so we know what's true. And the fact, however, is that there are difficulties in our truly grasping what the Bible says we know, our appreciating that all things are working together for good, our feeling that all things are working together good. In fact, sometimes we can feel, as Jacob, who felt after his long life that everything was working together for evil, we can feel like that too. As if everything is conspiring for evil. If it's not one thing, it's another, we say. And this is basically our little faith, isn't it? We can even have such a little faith in what we know is true. All things are working together for good. We can lose assurance. And some, it seems, even make major in this not having assurance, as if that's even a mark of humility and of true religion. Well, the fact of the matter, according to the gospel, is that little assurance of salvation and that all things are working together for the good of our salvation, that is no mark of humility or grace or religion, except false religion, false humility, and superficial understanding of grace. We are to know. We should know. Every one of us should know who believes in Jesus, that Jesus is the mediator of all things for our good. That's true piety, the true knowledge that all things work together for our good. And we have in our text here what I would say is God himself, and I speak as a man and also reverently, God himself pulling out all the stops, as it were, in the beginning of this grandest of sections on assurance and Christian triumph in all of the scriptures. It starts out with our being told that we know that all things work together for our good. And that on the backdrop of the much suffering of the world and of us for Jesus' sake even. And so at this end part of Romans 8, we need to be assured, and the Holy Spirit is saying that, and we know that, and now our text is comprised of several grand reasons why there is no reason not to be assured of the ultimate triumph of our eternal destiny. Note the text. It begins with the word for, verse 29. That's connected with verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And verse 29 is a reason for whom he foreknew and so on. But then verse 30. Moreover, that speaks to the fact that additional reasons are going to be added to the several reasons of verse 29, why we should know that all things work together for our good. And so the text here, we know that all things work together for good, ought to be yours and ought to be mine. The reasons here are clear. They are abundant. They are wonderfully pious religion reasons, and they give glory to God, who would not be assured that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. We should be assured. And so I want to consider with you these texts, which are sometimes, or these verses, which are sometimes rather out of context, brought forth as here's the golden chain and so on. But I want to bring our text out in light of the fact that the text is reasons why we ought to know that all things are working together for good. And I dare say we need them today, and here they are. There's seven. First of all, we know that all things work together for good, for, verse 28, whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, what's brought out here is the truth of the foreknowledge of God, and the foreknowledge of God of those who, according to verse 28, love God, who are the called according to his purpose. For those who love God, those he foreknew. And the idea is that foreknowledge, the foreknowledge of God, is the ground for our knowing, and should be knowing, that all things are working together for good. Here's the fact that Paul is bringing out here. Loved of God, those who love God, are loved of God. They are known before in the God who loves them. That's the idea of foreknowledge in the Bible. Foreknowledge speaks of the concept of God knowing people before even time. The idea of God knowing people in the Bible is a very intimate way of expressing His knowledge of them, or His love of them. So we have in the Bible, knowing one another in marital relation, describing the sexual intimacy, say, for example, of Adam and Eve. Adam knew his wife Eve. That was their loving one another in the marital conjugal bond and having a child in the love bond of marriage. Now, God knowing us is like that, and His foreknowing us is His loving us before all time, and certainly before we loved Him. Amos 3, verse 2, it is said by the prophet Amos, "You only," speaking of Israel, "have I known of all the families of the earth." Now, there is a wonderful expression of God knowing His people in distinction from all the families of the earth in this love. That's what He's talking about here. How about 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3? "If any man love God, the same is known of him, foreknown, loved, so that's why we love God back." 2 Timothy 2:19, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." And so you have this lovely reason of God loving us first, as the ground for why we should understand, surely, that all things are working together for good to those who love God. Why? God loves us. He foreknew that we would love Him, but He did this in His great power because He loved us. He knew us. And this resulted in our loving Him. Now, see what Paul's doing here is saying that the love of God means that God is going to love us all the way to the end. And everything in your life, and you children too should know this, and you young people, the bends that are your road now in the formative years in your life, God is working together for good. Why? Because you love Him? Well, not in the first place. Because He loves you, and therefore you love Him. So that's the first reason. Paul brings it up here. It's not a little thing. It's not a mere dogmatic theoretical thing. It's theology on the ground. God foreknows us. We are known by God. And lo and behold, we sense this. We know this. We believe this. And the response is we love Him. And then we know that God is working all things together for our good. Well, the second reason is that those who are the called according to His purpose in verse 28 are predestined. And that's what I want to bring out here. We have met with the purpose of God in verse 28. Those who love God are the called according to His purpose. But here in verse 29, we read that the purpose of God was something that was pre, or that was before we were even around, and before we knew anything of the purposes of God. So foreknowledge has brought us back before time and before we knew God. And now the predestination of God is given as a ground why we ought to know that God is working all things together for our good. This is an eternal purpose of God. It is the mind of God that He had with regard to us before anything happened, before the worlds were made. This is a ground, this predestination of God, for our knowing that all things now are working together according to His plan. You see, the temptation is for us to think, and if we stray into heresy, we would think this way, that the purposes of God here, they are brought about in time, and God sees how we're doing, and He has a purpose for us, but maybe something happens that's out of God's control, and His purposes are thwarted. But the apostle here is saying, purpose means something that was eternal. It's not just a purpose that God came up with, but it's a predestinating purpose. People don't like the idea of predestination. Everything is out of our control. But Paul not only likes the idea, but he's inspired to write the truth that it is the idea, the truth, the reality of God. And God's purposes are eternal and therefore unchangeable and fixed determinations with regard to us. That's why we know all things are working together for good. There's a purpose which is according to a predestinating purpose. And so, number three, those predestined are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's verse 29. So, here's the point here of this text. All things are working together for good means this. All things are working together that we might be proper sons of God. I used to think that in the great chain of salvation, which is especially alluded to in verse 30 and following, there was no sanctification there. Look at verse 30. There's predestination, there's calling, and there's justification. And then there seems like a big gap between justification and being declared right with God and the final glorification. Until I looked at verse 29 and saw it all together as reasons why we know all things to work together for good. And God is saying that God's predestinating purpose of the called is so that they might be sanctified. And that's why we can know all things are working together for good, because our good is to be the sons of God, is to be in the image of Jesus Christ. That's the good that God is working for us, as we saw last time. And so this is a ground for assurance that the apostle is bringing out. The foreknowledge, the love of God was so that we were chosen before the foundation of the world for this reason, to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That means sanctification. That means holiness. That means the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That means we become more and more like Jesus, who is the image of the Father. That means we become more and more holy. And that is all because of the predestination of God. And then the calling and the purposes of God that are fulfilled in time. This is why we know that all things are working together for good to those who love God, for the saving good of those who love God, because we are predestined and we are predestined to be sanctified, to be the sons of God. And so there's nothing missing here between justification and glorification. In fact, it's the prime purpose of all of God's purposes and predestination. We read in Ephesians 1 and verse 4 that we are chosen in love in Christ, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. People like to think, well, you believe in predestination, and this means that you're just going to live the way you want to live. And predestination, justification by faith alone, it makes for sorry sorts of Christians. They're just the frozen chosen. They don't give a rip about being godly. They think it doesn't matter, as if somehow the great predestination of God just whirls everything together and it doesn't involve our willing and our receiving Christ and all of these things. But that's nonsense, because the truth of the matter is God has chosen us to glory, and to glory that we might be put on the path of holiness. And this is in the text, for whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, I see this as a reason, because the text is saying it is a reason, why we should know that all things are working together for our good. God wants us to be holy. And the ultimate good of the child of God is that we might be like our Father in being like His Son, Jesus. Isn't that the greatest thing that you're striving for short of heaven? You're striving to be holy. You're striving to be like Jesus in everything, in every aspect of your life. Well, that's why you can know then that all things are working together for good, because you've been chosen for that. That intelligence of things, that desire of things, that longing to be rid of sin. And I say, dear Christian, dear doubting Christian, maybe, again, if the smallest desire to be holy is in you, that small desire of the new obedience is in you, this is ground for your knowing God is working all things for your good, no matter what. No matter what happens, though the whole world is falling around, falling apart around you, you know that. You know that all things are working together for good. And then fourthly, here's the reason, taken with the other. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is an amazing reason why we should know that all things are working together for good. For you see, taken in connection with our being conformed to the image of Son, of the Son of God, is this purpose that God is fulfilling, that Jesus gets the glory being the firstborn among many brethren. We know that all things are working together for good because all things are working together for the glory of Jesus. When all things are working together for good, this is because God foreknew you. He predestined you. He has predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son, that the Son might be the firstborn. That means the most important one. And that's the purpose of God in everything. And therefore, when it is known by us that Jesus is getting the glory in and through our life, this is the intelligence that God is giving us, the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom, the grace, to be sure. Since Jesus is now Lord and Savior of our life, and we live for Him, God is working all things for our good. All things. All things. Maybe taking away things. People. Friends in your life. Spouses. Aspirations. Money. Maybe taking them all away. But in order that your faith might be quickened and your tie to Jesus strengthened, that's good. And that means we can be assured. Though naked we came out of the womb, naked we return. All things for good. We go into the arms and the heaven of God. Jesus, having the preeminence in the purposes of God being fulfilled and our being made holy and conformed to His image and placed among the brethren, Jesus calls brethren. That's reason to rejoice. That is just amazing. And then this. And I quickly go over just these in verse 30. The predestined are surely called. Moreover, whom He predestined. He's back to that. Verse 29. These He also called. And called, we know, is the effectual called. Because these who are called are surely also justified. That's another reason, verse 30. And then, note this, the justified are surely glorified, verse 30. Now, all of these reasons, and I find some seven of them. Reasons why we should know that all things work together for good. God foreknows us, God predestines us, we're conformed to the image of the Son. The Son gets the preeminence as the firstborn among many brethren. And the predestined are called, and the called are justified, and the justified are glorified. Those are golden reasons, dear ones. They are golden reasons why you should never doubt that everything is working together for good. Why? Because these things are God's things that He's working in all things. Notice here, there's just a few things, choice things that are mentioned. But they are golden. They are the reasons why. No matter what other things are in your life, you know that they're working out for good because these things God has determined will come to pass in your life. And they are coming to pass in your life. this foreknowledge, this predestination, this holiness, this glorification of the Son, this calling, this justification, this glorification. God's working these things in all things that are working together, therefore, for your good. You can count on it. It's the Word of God. The other things that happen, sometimes you wonder, why? Why this? Why this brokenness? Why this loss? Why this cross? Why this job? Why not that job? Why this frustration? Why this in the church? Why this in the home? Why this in among the in-laws? Why? We have all of these questions. Or maybe we're thinking we've got lots of things and we're not even thinking about the other things that Paul is mentioning here as infallible reasons why we know that all things are working together for good. No matter. We have biblical reason to know that all things behind the scenes, God is working so that we need not fear. See, this is really the scene here. Paul in verse 28 has alluded to all things. He will allude to that again in verse 31 and also verse 32. Notice that. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with him also give us all things? Things. The main things in our text, the reasons for knowing that all things work together for good. These are the things that are pearls. Things that are the golden reasons why we should be assured. And Paul is bringing all of them forth all together here to launch into a paean of praise to the God from whose love we can never be separated. And you see, it's because all of these things here, this justification, this foreknowledge, this predestination, this calling, this glorification ultimately are the realities of the cross. And you know, Paul, he always has Jesus on his mind, and children and young people and us old timers, let's always have Jesus on our mind, shall we not? Jesus is the reason ultimately for everything. That's why he's in the center of this. It's so that Jesus gets the glory as the firstborn of a family. And as the Son of God, always the delight of God. So we have these reasons, and the drama of salvation really guided by the hand of God, which is to say, in my second point here, there's a God behind all these things. And ultimately, why we know all things work together for good is, well, because God. Because God. That's the reason. Not fate. Not man. Not ourselves. And not, strikingly, anything here that God doesn't mention. God did mention here, it's because we could know that all things work together for good because we just got a degree. Didn't mention that, did he? Or because we know we're popular. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say a lot of things here. And the silence about a lot of things is significant. Because what God is saying here, these are just the divine things that you need to know. You don't need to look high and low anywhere else. These are the things. And we are turned here irresistibly just to these things, underneath all the other things, but just think of them. These divine realities, this golden chain, these things that flow from the cross of Calvary and give glory to God and the Son. Think of them, won't you? You see, Paul the Apostle here is wanting to minister to a flock he's never seen at Rome. And they had all kinds of other things, like Roman peace and Roman law and Roman riches and all of this kind of stuff. And maybe the temptation was to think, well, they've got all kinds of things that they need. But Paul, you see, he's pointing up the glories of the goal of God. And that all things work together for good to the lovers of God who are loved of God. This, I say, is incomparable to all the good things and all the bad things. It just simply is not comparable. God is behind the reasons, not us. We know that all things work together for good, because I was pretty good today. And I got straight A's this semester, made the dean's list. That's not what the text says. It's all God. It's all God. Wouldn't it be terrible if right in the middle of these reasons were something we knew just couldn't be true? We know that all things work together for good because you're a perfect person, or everyone who loves Jesus loves Him perfectly. We know that all things work together for good because, well, you're just a perfect church, perfect elders, perfect deacons, perfect minister. It's not what it says. It simply points us to the perfect God. That's why we can know. It's a terrible thing when a church by her doctrines would hold people in suspense about their salvation. And when a church does that and says maybe you have to merit certain things, you can maybe fall away if you just blow it one day or one sermon. And you have to continually do penance and maybe merit something with God. And even then, you're only going to get out of purgatory a couple of years earlier than you would. But even before that, you might just fall short of glory. No, you see here how reliable God is. Notice here, there's really no tenses. This is going to happen in the future if and when this happens. It's all, you see, the logic in the biblical sense of the word logic, the reasoning of God here. He's saying, is the apostle under the inspiration of the Spirit, things divine transcend time. Things divine rooted in the cross are rooted in a thing that earns for us all the treasures of heaven. And so, without a doubt, you're glorified if you're taken into the embrace of God. Without a doubt. Already now, there is in principle this glory, yours from the cross, and then completely to be revealed in the last day. It's all there. All due to God. And that's the reason why we have no fear that all things work together for good. All things are sovereignly worked by God, aren't they? Mediated by the Son in all of history for the glory of God and the saving infallibly His people. The last point I want to bring is our knowledge of this. We need to know this. And after this text and all the way to the end, there's an appeal to a conclusion. What shall we then say to these things? What shall we then say? Shouldn't we come to the right conclusions, the right knowledge? Sure. That's what we should come to, by faith. And that's the call this afternoon. Let's believe. There's great comfort in this. Don't miss the reasons why, the divine reasons why. We should know that all things work together for good. Leads to a life of utterance of things wonderful. What shall we say? We're going to say a lot. Leads to a life of focus on the Messiah. In all things, we're constantly pointing our children to the things that matter. We're pointing them to the wonderful blessings of the cross, the golden things, the pearls of great price, the gems of the gospel. And we preach that too. We don't preach politics here. We don't take a stand on political party, whatever, except, of course, We get into these things only as they have bearing upon the obedience of the children of God and the witness of the church in things that are wise, and true, and eternal. So we preach here this truth from predestination to glory. We're not ashamed. We're going to preach them all of these things, these aspects of salvation, so that we love God all the more and love to hear what God will say. Well, do you know that all things work together for your good? You say that all things work together for my good, for our good. As we love God, that's how we know it. As we believe in Him and draw nigh to His Word, that's how we know it. There's no rocket science here. It's all revelation. And revelation that opens the eyes of the blind. And so they see. And they're never the same. So go your way, people of God. All who may hear, go your way believing the words of the Scripture. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And here's why. For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Amen. Our Father in heaven, bless, we pray, so that we can learn once again at Jesus' feet all the things that You have given us to learn tonight, today, in word and sacrament. Bless the congregation. May we, the sheep, gather around the word and be glad. May we know that You are with us. You are near to us and You are guiding us every step of the way. Bless us soon as we go our ways, and may we gather around together with one another to sing Your praises as we close the Sabbath day. Care for us, Lord, in our need, in our distresses, in our longing to be perfect, in our longing to be like You, in our longing to know the joys of heaven, even now. Hear our prayers and pardon our many sins of hearing and of preaching. And may, Lord, we know the wonderful cleansing blood of the Lamb and the peace that passes understanding. Amen.